Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Firing over the middle. Hits Hopkins across the 30. Cutting right. 25. Cuts inside. 20. 15. And down inside the 10-yard line. Big play to DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins is tremendous. And he made the plays out there tonight that made a lot of difference. And I think we all got a good look at what a guy like Hopkins can do.
DeAndre Hopkins, Rich.
Yeah.
He's DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, he probably...
DeAndre is short for DeAndre. I don't know if you knew that.
It may remind him of the magic of Deion Sanders back in the day. You never know.
D-E capital A-N. DeAndre. that was Jerry Jones, for those who didn't recognize that very recognizable voice.
Yeah. He's the best.
He's the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys.
And the owner.
DeAndre Hopkins.
And we have connections at our sister
station.
Well, I bring up
he's the general manager because theoretically he should know who some of the other players
are around the
league and what their names are.
Well, that's true. It's not the first time he's misspoke, right?
Yeah.
We have connections at our sister station at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And we have not efforted in a while to get Jerry Jones on this show, but I think we should try.
Okay. Let's do it. That's your connection,
on.
Rich.
Yeah. No, I'd love to get him on.
That's your hookup. All right, let's go back to the phone. 713-572-4610. Some of you want to get in and talk about the Astros about to close out the Indians. They're in the top of the ninth. The Astros are still piling on the Indians, so we'll keep an eye on that. But who's up, Rich? Who's up?
Tyler in Sugarland is up next. Hello, Tyler. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are y'all today?
Good.
No, I was just wanted to call in and put in my opinion. Y'all were asking who we would rather face next. I would much rather face the Red Sox, even though they were the best team in baseball.
Yeah, I think so too. Their bullpen is rags, man. Like, I don't know that the Astros, if the Astros are tearing through the Indians bullpen like this,
yeah.
the Red Sox, I know Red Sox fans because I'm related to Red Sox fans. I know they are terrified about their bullpen going against good teams in the postseason.
Yeah, that's the biggest reason. And also the Yankees can bash, you know, they could bash with the Astros. You know, it's not like that's going to be a huge advantage for the Astros.
Yeah, I saw them flash the season series records on the TV earlier. We beat the Red Sox 4-3 and lost to the Yankees 2-5. And like you said, the Yankees are better offensively than the Red Sox are, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, their long ball, their power game is better than the Red Sox for sure.
Yeah, that's you know what I meant.
Yeah.
Correction. But also, Bregman for MVP. I think Alex and George Springer are going to carry us to another World Series title.
I think so, too. Appreciate the phone call, Tyler.
They will name an MVP of the LDS, I believe.
Do
right?
they?
Do they?
Yeah, Verlander was last year. Yeah,
no, he was the LCS MVP. He was not the LDS.
Oh, I'm sorry.
MVP.
I thought that's what you said.
Yeah.
I think they do, though, no?
I don't think they do for the LDS.
If they did, it would be Bregman. He's now hitting over 500 in these three games.
Think they've started preparing the champagne?
Yes.
There's no doubt.
It's been on ice since what time did the game start today?
12:30.
Yeah, it's been on ice since 12:29.
There's no doubt.
Yeah. I don't think they give an MVP. Bregman's the MVP of this team for this season. I don't know if he's their most important player. Like, if you were to remove, you know, if the baseball gods reached down and said, you have to remove, we get to pick one player. We're going to pick one player off your team to remove, but you get to freeze one. And we can't take that guy away. Who would it be? I still think it might be Verlander just because of what he represents at the top of this rotation. And that's really
hard to argue.
That's really the differentiator for this team, as good as they are at hitting the baseball. There's other guys who can get you runs in the postseason. There's nobody who can go out there and start a game one and potentially a game four or five for you in either a 5-game series or a 7-game series like Justin Verlander can.
Yep.
Except for maybe Gerrit Cole, who pitches the day after him each time.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not a bad 1-2 punch.
All right. Who's up, Rich?
We have, I believe, Antonio down in Pearland.
Antonio!
What's up, man?
Sal just like to say that the reason why the Texans, their end zone problems is, it was like, I guess it was in max protection, and they only had two receivers going out. So, you know, that's what they said on TV. Like, they only had, like, two receivers going out. I guess it was in max protection, so that's probably why they have problems. And they was doing Kansas City trend and play that Kansas City had invented. And that's the one play that TQP had scored on. And about the Astros, I would love to see the Yankees because they – I hate the Yankees, basically. I love to hear them complain, so
– A for honesty.
That's why I want to play the Yankees because I don't even think they have a suggestion box in any of their companies because, you know –
That's funny.
Listen, it's just by definition, it's always going to be more fun to beat the Yankees than the Red Sox.
That's what was so cool about last year's postseason run is who they beat. Not just the Yankees, but that they beat the Red Sox in the LDS.
Yeah.
They beat the Yankees in the ALCS.
And then went old school in the World Series.
And then they beat the Dodgers, who were their division rival way back in the day. But
not just their division rival, but in the 80s, the Dodgers were the team. They were the Steelers to the Astros the way the Steelers were to the Oilers.
Yeah, so... you're right. So it dialed back up probably for older Astro fans, dialed up some memories. But current day baseball and Astro fans, those are the three blue blood organizations of the last however many years. You know, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, and the Yankees, the Astros went through all of them. They went through all of their closers. They went through all their aces. They hit them all.
Yeah, the only team missing from the list would have been the Cardinals, another former division rival who you have to put up there with the royalty of, you know, the legacy programs of Major League Baseball.
They, you know, here's the thing, Rich. They're just not good enough anymore, the Cardinals.
Not right now, they're
too bad,
not.
So sad. They don't have the Astros password anymore.
That's the problem.
Yep.
Yes, their espionage has failed them.
Their espionage department is now in prison.
not just prison. 4 years, man.
Yeah.
That's a long stretch.
Yep. Do we want to squeeze one? We got time. Let's squeeze another phone call in here. If you want to get in, 713-572-4610. Texans, Astros, both fair game. As Will Harris walks the first hitter in the bottom of the ninth. A nine-run rally starts with a Will Harris walk.
Mike Let's in Pasadena is the one chuckling there. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Oh, am I on? I'm on? Okay, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah,
I'm watching
you.
It, too. I got the game on, too. First, I want to say this. I was at the game last night, thanks to Sports Radio 610 and the Triple Threat. Great seats.
Nice.
Awesome.
Me and my girlfriend was there. She's a breast cancer survivor, so it was perfect. You know, the whole everything, especially the win.
That's great.
And thank y'all so much. It was at the 40-yard line right behind the Texans bench.
Good seats, man. We don't mess around.
Yeah. That's right.
Y'all don't mess around there. Are you kidding me? I'm hooked. I've been hooked on y'all forever, though. I love the shows.
We love you,
especially
too.
Especially y'all's. But anyway, I want to say this. I'm the guy that sees the glass half full. I know what kind of talent the Texans have. I think we all do. We see flashes of it. If we can ever put everything together, you know, on offense, defense, and special teams, and coaching too, Rich. I know you're a real critique about Bill O'Brien, and we need to tighten up in all areas, and we get tired of hearing that. But after two wins in a row, I'm thinking, come on, let's get it going. You know, I see a positive future, a bright future.
It's inarguable that they're a game out of first place, and
should
beat the Bills on Sunday and go into Jacksonville, maybe looking for a share of first place.
Who knows? I mean,
claiming first place.
Yeah. And I wanted to say that. And plus the Astros, as far as the last guy call in, I love what he said about I hate the Yankees, but, I think I'd rather face the Yankees and have a home field advantage and face the Red Sox and be the visitors. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, no, that's a logical thing to think, Mike. But the Astros have been a really good road team this year. I like the Astros. A.J. Hinch, I heard say this. I heard a soundbite of A.J. Hinch in his press conference saying, I don't care where we play. I'll bring this team anywhere, and we'll take on anybody. I'm not super worried about having to go on the road and win a game in Fenway Park with this team. I'm really not. Seven-game series. It's a longer series, so I'm not that worried about it. Would I rather have home field advantage? Of course I would, but I think this team is a good enough road team. They're just a good enough team overall to be able to overcome that.
Second best road record in MLB history since they went to 162 games in 1961.
To Mike's point about the Texans, and I said this a little bit earlier, and the Astros got a nice double play to get one out away. The I do believe this. Like, what the spirit of what Mike was talking about relative to the things this team has going for it. I know that everybody's dialed in on the red zone issues, and it's a huge issue. Don't get me wrong. Like, they do need to fix that. But again, I would rather have a team that has shown an ability to be able to move the football. I would have more confidence in a team that has shown the ability to move the football, fixing the problem of getting it into the end zone eventually, than I would be just rooting for a team that's 2-3 because they've had to scrap their way. The way that this Texans team played, quite honestly, before Deshaun Watson got here.
Yeah.
If a team with was 2-3 with Brian Hoyer or Ryan Mallett or Ryan Fitzpatrick or whoever doing all their, you know, little dink and dunk and having to win games 17-15 and stuff like that, that's not something where I go, okay, well, these are things you can correct and all of a sudden become a better team. No, you're just playing to whatever your ceiling is. This team's ceiling, I think, is a higher ceiling than those teams. And
I would agree with that.
And the defense, that was encouraging last night. I don't think Dallas is a great offensive team. They're pretty predictable in terms of how you shut them down. You chop the head off the snake with Ezekiel Elliott, you shut down that offense. But they went out and did it. They didn't do that the week before against the Colts. They went out and did it. And if the Cowboys don't, the Cowboys basically, Rich, they scored 16 points, and it was essentially a short field because of a fumble from DeAndre Hopkins. And then the three field goals were all drives that were based on one play. Big hits to two hits to a tight end and one to Tavon Austin down the field. Three 40-yard plus plays. And other than those plays, the Cowboys did nothing all night. They did nothing. So they're 2-3. I think they're going to beat Buffalo next week. We'll see what happens against Jacksonville. But I think this team, I think it's a team that has a lot going for it. They need to keep the quarterback healthy, though. That's probably the biggest thing.
Good luck with that.
Yep. All right. A final segment coming up in which, and there it is, the Astros are in the ALCS. There was one host here at Sports Radio 610 that went on the record with a prediction that went horribly wrong. We will replay the prediction from that host on this series in the final segment. We'll take your phone calls as well. If you're on hold, stay there. 713-572-4610. You're listening to the Triple Threat, Sean and Rich, Sports Radio 610.
I've got a statement to make at 6:10 in the morning on a baseball and football Friday. I am picking the Indians to win this series.
You're a fraud.
I know. Yeah, I'm picking the Indians to win the series in five games.
I'm going to be the contrarian. I'm going to be edgy by picking the Indians to win this.
It's not that. You know me well enough to know that's not what it would be. And don't get me wrong.
I don't know you that well.
Clearly, management has told you to root against the Astros.
Exactly.
There goes old 6'10 again.
Yes. It's a fiat.
Son of a bitch.
Yep, it was 6'10 being like, we got to get the Astros out. No.
No, Mike Meltzer was not just doing it to be contrarian. He believed that the Cleveland Indians were going to win that series. The lesson in all this is conformity should be a way of life. Everybody should just think the same way. And then you'll end up being right if it has to do with the Houston Astros.
The Indians, as it turns out.
You get for stepping out, Mike.
The Indians, as it turned out, were barely competitive in this series.
Yeah, I think, look.
Their offense shut down in this series.
Yeah.
Shut down by a historically good pitching staff.
Yeah, I'm not going to bang on Mike just because I think there was a case you could make going into the series picking the Indians to win the series for sure. I mean, they're a good team. They won their division. They've got a couple of good pitchers at the top of their rotation. This Astros team is a machine, and it's weird. Like, it does not feel like a team that won 103 games just because of some of the little ups and downs and tribulations they went through with certain guys injury-wise during the year. They were missing the MVP of the American League for a big chunk of the season. Carlos Correa has either been injured or kind of absent performance-wise throughout most of the season. Springer had some injuries along the way. The bullpen was kind of sketchy until Jeff Luhnow went out and made a couple acquisitions in Presley and Osuna to shore things up back there. But they really got things going again late in the season. And the guys who we were concerned about have all been hitting in this series against the Indians. Probably the most promising sign today for the Astros was Carlos Correa hit a three-run homer in the game today. Opposite field, fastball out off of the plate, and just drove that thing.
That's a bad message to any future opponent of the Astros in this postseason.
Yep.
If Correa has suddenly figured it out. And, you know, Jeff Luhnow does a lot of things really well as the general manager of this ball club. You just mentioned one that doesn't get talked about, I think, maybe as much as it should, and that is the ability in midstream to address a need. The greatest example, obviously, was Verlander last year, but bringing in Osuna, bringing in Presley, bringing in Martin Maldonado.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they've tweaked this team has been a pretty amazing thing to witness over the last couple of years, putting them in the position they're currently in.
And they didn't give up a drastic price for any of those guys either. You know, and they're those are guys that you still control after this year.
Yeah.
That's a big thing with Luno. That was a huge part of the Verlander trade. It wasn't just what he did for you last year. And look, you won the World Series because he was on this team. You don't win the World Series without Justin Verlander. But I think part of the value in getting Verlander wasn't just in getting him for last year. It was that you have two more years that the Tigers are paying a decent chunk of for you in that. So that's the thing, man. Luno isn't one of these guys that's going to just make a deal and, like, in the moment hope that it improves you for the next couple weeks and then you'll just deal with the fallout afterwards. He's always thinking a year, 2 years, 3 years ahead with this stuff.
Yeah, kind of reminds me of a little guy running the Rockets these days. And when you trade for these players we're talking about, there's almost always other teams interested in that player. You're not operating in a vacuum, and you have to outbid other teams for the services of these players, and there's the other advantage in building the organization that they have from top to bottom. They have a seemingly never-ending pile of chips with which to play the game to bring in assets from time to time.
Lance McCullers got into the game today. He is going to get in with Matt Radio on Thursday, as he has every Thursday throughout the season. 8:20 a.m. He's brought to you by Trailer Wheel and Frame, your number one source for all your trailer and towing needs, Trailer Wheel and Frame, and they bring you Lance McCullers every week. Shout out to our boy Tony Kemp, who joins us at 5:20 every Wednesday. He was a big part.
He was right in there,
wreaking some havoc on the base paths and just general chicanery with the Indians today.
On the Meltzer prediction, by the way, Sean, text message: Mike Melcher is a idiot.
Melcher.
Mike
is an idiot.
The text reads: Mike Melcher is a idiot. I think that speaks for itself.
Yeah. Did he say that you're an idiot? Y-O-U, I guess. I guess. Right.
No.
Look at me. Did he spell it this way? And I was about to spell the right way.
Mm-hmm. And Sean Bajani has come to Meltzer's defense on the text on the DWIattorney.com text page.
What did he say?
Meltzer made some solid points picking Cleveland, but what he failed to recognize is the fact that the Astros are probably the most prepared team in baseball, unmatched right now, talented, of course, but no team is as efficient from film room to cages to pen to game time like they are. Bajani.
Yep. They got a system.
You're
and
right,
it's working. It is working. All right, let's go back to the phones. Look who's here. He did not call the post game show last night, probably because
they won.
Well, no, he calls after wins as well. Oh, it's been a while since they've won a home game, but. Larry and Stafford joins us right now on the Triple Threat here on Sports Radio 610. Larry, have you come off of your Cowboy defeating high?
Hell no,
Hope
son.
Not.
Can you tell in my voice?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Listen to you.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why I didn't call in last night, because it was still going down at 4 o'clock in the morning. So there was no sense for me to interrupt that entertainment that I was having. Because, look, first of all, Let me go through the litany of things real quick before I get to them Texans and them Cowgirls. Sean, there's no logical reason that anybody should have picked the Cleveland Indians when we know we got the best team in baseball, and we also know we got the best pitching staff in baseball. And the fact that you was talking about Jeff Luhdahl and how he goes about selecting folks, that's why the Gerrit Cole pickup was such a monumental thing for this organization. Because if you decide that you're going to let Dallas Keuchel walk, you still got a dog that can be number one anytime you want him to be. And what we saw Gerrit Cole do the other day, that just lets you know we set up for a longer run. So I was glad they got out of Cleveland. I'm almost positive that the Astros just took a roll-on bag onto the plane because they knew they wasn't going to be there more than 24 hours. Having said that, Sean, I issued a silver amber alert for all these Cowboy fans who hasn't turned off all their phones. Because, see, this is the peacefulness that we have been wanting around this city when them clowns have to drive their ass back up 45. The Houston Texans are not a 2-3 football team, fellas. They're not. Now, the Dallas Cowboys, their ass is a 1-4 football team if you really want to look at it, because everybody talking all that noise about how Dallas almost won that game. Now, we let their ass stay in the game too damn long, and that goes back to Bill O'Brien. And look, I'm not going to disparage the win, but we have to talk about what we don't like when they win, just like we talk about what they don't like when they lose. If Bill O'Brien can't figure out how to put Jordan Thomas and Jordan Akins on the line and put Brian Griffin at halfback in front of Alpha Blue on a 4th-and-1, his ass is playing powder puff football. And he's playing flag football, and he's playing Big 12 football, because you have to have a power run game when it's down there under in the red zone. But having said that, look, Sean, I smoked plenty last night. And when I walked into the stadium, I know that I was at least 9 shots in on that Patron. But when I got to my seats, I knew, I said, I'm going to be stressed all night. I'm going to have my wife bring my blood pressure cup with me, because I knew it was going to be a long night for your boy. But it ended the way that I wanted to end, and now them Cowboys got to live with that L for 4 more years. And as for all you fans that owe me money and drink, I'm looking for y'all ass in our hollow.
We appreciate the phone call, Larry.
Wow.
That's,
I'm glad
that's,
he's still enjoying it. I would expect nothing less.
That's one that he's been waiting for a while, Rich.
Now, I will say this, Sean. I love Larry, and his takes are awesome, but when he said the Texans are not a 2-3 football team, number one, you are obviously what your record says you are, and you can argue. Look, I think his point was they're better than 2-3.
Yes, that's his point.
I think you need to pump the brakes on that just a little bit. They need to show us a lot more before you can say they're a lot better than a 2-3 football team. Let's not forget that it helped a lot that Frank Reich and Jason Garrett made a couple of questionable calls / decisions in the overtime of these two games, or we might be sitting here at 0-5.
Yeah, and look.
Or 1-4-1, or whatever. 1-3-1.
No, I get it. Here's the thing about the NFL this year is I think you can say that so-and-so should be this and swing the record 1 or 2 games either way for like half the teams in the league. And the Texans are one of those teams, right? I mean, if you look at a lot of the handicappers look at yards per play as the big stat that measures the quality of a team. I know record is what measures the quality of a team's season, but just in terms of handicapping, you go, just how good is this team? And the Texans are in the upper, they're in the upper half of the league. They're in the upper half of the league in yards per play. They're 11th in yards per play on offense, and they're 14th in defense. So they're in the upper half of the league in that metric, in yards per play allowed, obviously, on defense. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to go too deep in the weeds on the numbers part of it, but this is a team that generally plays football, you know, just play to play, like a team that should be pretty good. But they make silly mistakes. They make occasional mistakes on special teams, not as many as they used to make. And the coach is having a really hard time concocting ways to keep from having 3 points turn into 7 points instead.
Yeah. Sean, give me an easy win or two.
I agree.
Give me a breezy win or two, Rich, and then I'll come around to they're better than their record suggests, because the 2 wins they have, they've barely won those games.
They have, and 2 of the losses they've had have been of that variety,
right?
Also. So that's why I say a lot of the league is that way right now. But I'm with you. Like, this shouldn't be something where you just go get a win against Buffalo. You need to go beat Buffalo by 3 touchdowns. Like, that's a team you're favored double digits against. You need to go cover the spread and make this so that nobody's sweating about this thing in the fourth quarter. Go win the damn game in the first half and then hold on to what it is you're doing. Make them one-dimensional and make Josh Allen throw about 5 interceptions. All right.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.